Welcome back. You are listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, and we are happy to be joined by Sarah Barini. Sarah Barini is from the Lebanese community. They're an activist and organizer, including some of the big Free Palestine Sunday rallies here in Nam. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we invited you on this morning because we want to give listeners a bit of a rundown on the current situation on the ground in Lebanon. Would you be able to give us a little bit of that, a rundown in the context of West Asia more broadly?
So unfortunately, we've been witnessing a live stream genocide that's been happening for over now 78 years against the Palestinian people. What we've been seeing over the last 3 years in particular has been an escalation of Israeli aggression against the Palestinian people in Palestine, but also a renewed push for the Zionist project and the Greater Israel project. And under the Greater Israel project, Zionists are really hoping to secure all of historic Palestine and then push and occupy Lebanon as well, the remaining area of Syria, noting that it does occupy the Golan Heights at the moment, and also pushing through Jordan and Egypt as well. So what we've been seeing over the last 3 years has been a renewed push, particularly in Palestine, to continue the ethnic cleansing and occupation and genocide of the Palestinian people, but also renewed push in Lebanon as well to try and expand Israeli territory. We've now hit 100 days since the escalation of the genocide in Gaza. Since the invasion of Lebanon, we've seen over 4,200 people that have been killed, over 12,000 people injured, and at its height, more than 1.2 million people that were displaced in Lebanon as well. Again, at the height, we saw 20% of Lebanon, South Lebanon, occupied. There's now been a reduction in that, and it's now 6%. But nonetheless, Lebanese territory continues to be occupied as well as we speak. Unfortunately, like the destruction, just as in the Gaza, we've seen widespread destruction. In Lebanon, there's also mass destruction. 45% of urban areas in South Lebanon have been damaged or destroyed. What we're witnessing right now is Israel continuing to act without any regard for international law. We've seen historically they've even used weapons that are illegal under international law, including the use of white phosphorus in Lebanon. Many people will remember also the war crime that was committed by Israeli forces with the explosion of pagers as well in Lebanon. The crimes that Israel continues to commit are horrifying and should alarm everyone. The state of Israel continues to violate international law without the international community doing anything to hold it accountable, including the Australian government as well.
Late last week, thousands took to the streets of Beirut with massive protests sweeping the city. Sarah, can you tell us about these and explain the 26 June US-Israel-Lebanon trilateral framework agreement that sparked the protest?
So obviously, given the situation in Lebanon and destruction, the Lebanese government has been in talks with Israel and the United States, noting that obviously, Israel and the United States have been putting a lot of pressure on the Lebanese government to enter into an agreement. As we've seen time and time again, ceasefire agreements have been reached with Israel and then subsequently violated by Israel, not only in Lebanon, but in Palestine as well. What we saw late last month, was Lebanon and Israel and the United States agreed to an in-principle agreement and effectively normalization and to commit to entering into normalization talks and a long-term agreement. The Lebanese people reject that, and we saw protests in response. Just for context, Lebanon has been subjected to multiple aggressions by Israel throughout history and since the establishment of Israel. Since the establishment of Israel, and Lebanon does not hold diplomatic ties with Israel at present, and historically, working with Israel and normalizing ties with Israel has been considered to be treacherous. And now the Lebanese people see that the government is openly engaging in that treachery and are taking issue with that.
Sarah, thanks heaps for speaking with us this morning. This is Zane. It'd be cool if you could talk a bit about Hezbollah and the diversity of political opinion in Lebanon. I know that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Defense Minister, Israel Katz, Donald Trump, they sort of justify the attacks on southern Lebanon by saying, oh, well, Hezbollah is there and therefore we have to, occupy the southern part of Lebanon and create this kind of safety buffer. Can you comment on the nature of Hezbollah? They imply that it's just this kind of Iranian-backed foreign entity. That's not really the truth, as I understand it. Can you comment a bit about that?
Look, I think that we need to put into context when Hezbollah was established and why. Hezbollah was established during the second Israeli invasion of Lebanon in 1982. Prior to that, we had UNIFIL, which is United Nations Peacekeeping Force, in Lebanon in place since 1978. So basically, despite the existence of UNIFIL, which continues to be in place at the moment, Israel has continued to violate international law and continued to attempt to occupy and invade Lebanon. So Hezbollah came about during the second invasion of Lebanon to try and protect South Lebanon and protect Lebanese sovereignty. Now, obviously, there are disputing opinions about Hezbollah and their operation, but their primary focus is maintaining territory sovereignty and protecting the South against Israeli occupation and aggression. What I guess my concern is, and a lot of people, is that Hezbollah has been and will continue to be used as an excuse for Israel continuing to violate international law and continuing to breach ceasefire agreements and continuing to essentially collectively punish Lebanese people. And we can see that it's used the same tactic in Palestine as well, and using Hamas to blame Palestinians and to basically brainwash people into manufacturing consent for the collective punishment of Palestinians in Palestine. So it's the same tactic that we're seeing being used at the moment as well. But, you know, we're seeing hospitals being bombed and there is no justification for that. And even just yesterday, we saw a hospital in South Lebanon being bombed. We've seen the same tactic being deployed in Palestine as well. But there is no justification for these crimes. Lebanon has, the right to its sovereignty, and people have a right to continue to live their life peacefully and freely, as do the Palestinian people. And Israel must be held accountable for the crimes that it's committing and the breaches of sovereignty that it continues to commit.
And Sarah, can you talk a bit about the Litani River for listeners who may not be familiar with the geography of Lebanon and the southern part of Lebanon? Why does Israel want to capture the Litani River? And how long have they had that in their sights, kind of capturing part of Lebanon right up to and including the Litani River?
So the Zionist Project, under the Zionist Project and Plans for Greater Israel, it doesn't just want the Litani River, it really wants, Israel is seeking to gain all of Lebanon, unfortunately. Basically, it is a vital water source, and it's Israel's strategy has essentially been to try and cripple communities and also to continue to commit basically an ecocide as well. It's destroying land and natural resources, and the Litani River is one of the essential and historical areas of Lebanon that it is trying to make sure that it can take and cripple. It's pretty significant for Lebanon's agriculture and economic needs as well, and it's just another way through which Israel is hoping to cripple the Lebanese people.
Sarah, thank you for coming on Green Left Radio this morning. Are there any last words you would like to leave our listeners with, or anything you'd like to plug before we wrap up?
I just want to remind people that I think that a lot of us have noticed that we're not seeing the situation in Lebanon or in Palestine being reported as frequently, but that doesn't mean that Israel isn't continuing to commit its aggressions against people on a daily basis. So the responsibility is on us to continue to educate ourselves and keep ourselves informed, and to keep our eyes on Palestine, to keep our eyes on Lebanon, and to continue to take action in each and every single way that we can. So that means looking out on social media for any actions that are coming up, not only protests, but any other actions as well, and campaigns that are taking place. So keep an eye out on social media. There are so many different groups that are doing incredible work, but just continue to speak up and continue to take action. And thank you for listening as always.
Yeah, really good to have you on the show, Sarah. And also thank you for all your hard work in building the protest movement. It's important, like you said, it's more important than ever that we keep speaking out against Israel's attack on Lebanon and its ongoing genocide in Gaza, despite a supposed ceasefire. Thank you once again, Sarah. We'll have to have you back on the show in the future.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, thanks heaps. And yeah, I think it's worth remembering too, like around the world, one of the places that's got, you know, where public opinion has really shifted to become very openly critical of the actions of the Israeli state is here in Australia. And it's because of community organising and getting that alternative perspective out there and normalising the truth. Like, this Zionist project has just lied to people for decades about what's going on there and dehumanized Lebanese people and Palestinians. So, yeah, much respect to Sarah and to every other grassroots activist who's been doing the hard yards over the last couple years and over the last couple decades, because, yeah, public opinion can shift, and it has shifted a lot in Australia recently.
Yeah, there's a recent Pew, it's a reputable survey, it's worldwide, respected worldwide, recently came out with some incredible figures talking about how Australia is ranked among the most critical populations regarding Israel and Netanyahu, and it's something like 79%. I mean, there's different statistics, but they're all overwhelmingly, even the conservative, like centre, are overwhelmingly against Israel, and that is really a testament to the Palestine movement here, but also we're part of the global solidarity movement, and not forgetting the Palestinians on the ground in Palestine fighting for their lives every single day.